Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the regular meeting of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, La Hama Region. My name is Don Jardine, remarkable. I am the chairman. I want to thank members of the public for coming to our meeting. We do a better job when you participate in the issues that come before us. At this time, I would like to introduce the other members of the regional board. Dr. Amy Horn from Truckee. Peter Pumphrey from Bishop. Keith Tyus from Rosemont. Eric Sandell from Truckee. Unfortunately, Jack Clark cannot be with us today. The executive officer is Patty Cole-Young-Jin. Our executive officer, could you please introduce the staff?
Well, certainly good afternoon. We're very lucky today to have our staff joining us. Sue Janera is up here in front, and she is our board clerk. If you have any comments or would like to speak for the board, that's you and your those parts too. Kimberly Niemeyer here is our chief counsel for the board. Chuck Curtis is in the audience there. Doug Smith is here to my right. Richard Booth has joined us as well in the back. And Scott Ferguson, the prosecution team is there. Rob Tucker. And last but not least, Laura Kemper, our assistant AEO, joined us. And that's the staff that are joining us for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. The regional board will be considering many items during this meeting. Although we must use our time wisely, we encourage your input on any item so that our discussion will be based on all available information. If you wish to speak on any agenda item, please fill out an orange card indicating which item you wish to address and how many minutes you need. Although we do not administer an oath in most proceedings before this board, we expect all statements made before this board to be truthful, with no attempts to mislead by false statements, deceptive presentation, or failure to include essential information. We also ask that you obey our ground rules, which are: treat everyone with respect. This includes board members, board staff, anyone who testifies, and your fellow citizens. This means no personal attacks and no violent, contemptuous, or disruptive behavior. In the interest of everyone's time, please communicate your ideas clearly and efficiently. So that we can develop an accurate administrative record, we ask that you speak only after you are recognized. At that time, please come to the lectern and speak to the agenda item. If you do not follow these rules or become repetitious, I may ask you to sit down. Any person aggrieved by any action or inaction of the region board, including but not limited to the issuance, modification, or rejection of a waste discharge requirement, administrative civil liability, or a cease and desist order, may petition the State Water Resources Control Board to review the decision. The State Board must receive the petition within 30 days of the Regional Board's meeting at which the action was taken. Board staff will provide you with copies of the regulations about filing petitions if you request them. They are also available on the State Water Resources Control Board website. I'll go to item one on the agenda. The minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Reports. Item two. Executive officer's report.
Good afternoon, Chairman Jardine and board members. I'm Patty Cole-Young-Jin, your executive officer, and I'd like to update you on a few items of interest to the board this month. A written report of key region board actions and activities are included in your board packet, and I'm happy to answer any questions about those. Expect to see for next month some written reports regarding PG&E, cleanup in Hinkley, and the status of that, as well as a status report on dairies next month in your write-up. Some things I seem to be interested to update you on are, I think, some of our staff developments. One of our standing items to report in this month is an update of all of our Caltrans activities, and that's in item 2 of the report. But I wanted the board also know that Bud Amorfidi of our staff is now our Caltrans liaison for the entire region. So, yeah, that's a big task, I know. Bud has a lot of experience working with Caltrans. He does a great job. We're really lucky to have him because he's worked with them over the years and has a lot of experience. And it'll be real helpful as the statewide Caltrans permit is being implemented, which was recently adopted by the state board. So I'm glad he volunteered or was volunteered for that post. Also, I wanted to let you know that we just completed a successful two-day all-staff training here in Lake Tahoe in this actual room. It was sponsored by the State Board's Training Academy, and I'm happy to report that most of the Victorville and Lake Tahoe staff could attend. It had been 9 long years since we had been able to bring the staffs together, so it was long overdue and I think much appreciated. Some of our travel restrictions have made it harder and more complex to get staff together for face-to-face, so it's really important that we do that. I thank Laura Kemper for a lot of her hard efforts in pulling that together. I think the event itself fostered a lot of much-needed face-to-face meetings with staff to work on issues and problem-solving together. And I think some great connections were made. Just my observations across the room, everyone's smiling and happy the whole time, so I think it's an unscientific indicator, but it certainly was nice to see. The training focused on improving our internal processes, because I had asked staff across the board, so what is it that we do here that you'd like to see us continue? And what is it that we do here that you think we can make better or improve? And what is it that we do that you think we should stop doing? I think over 90% of the responses we got were, we want to make things better, which does indicate to me that we've got a staff that's caring and wants to, you know, work to improve the regional board. So I think it was great. And so we kind of drilled down on a couple of those issues of internal processes to make ourselves more efficient and use our time more effectively, given that we have more work than staff to do day to day. We also worked on communication and collaboration skills, which I think was also very helpful and much appreciated by the staff. We also took a little bit of time to identify some emerging issues to coming in the future that we may face 10, 20 years down the road and what to do about that. And we, our Kim here gave us a wonderful class on permit writing, CEQA compliance, and how to write better findings for better products. So I think that was much appreciated by the staff, and they liked it so much they asked her back for more. So next time. It was a great event, and I do think everyone left the training with improved skills and personal connections between the two offices. I certainly learned a lot myself, and I think the staff enjoyed the training. I'm looking forward to next year. We're hoping to make this an annual event at the PM, if we can get the resources for it. And I got some great ideas for staff on next time. What could we do to improve ourselves? And I also want to thank Amy, who joined us at one of our Taylor Creek events for an on-site visit there. But I think overall it was a good event. Board meetings for next year. I've included in your packet a suggested schedule for next year. You'll notice that there's generally more issues or meetings scheduled in the south part of the state as opposed to the north part of the state, because I think we've got more action items coming up in the year in that part of the state. I'm suggesting a meeting in Bishop to coincide with the Bridgeport Rancher perhaps in June, when the ranchers suggested would be a good time. And I'm also proposing maybe meeting Lake Arrowhead, because we do have an enforcement action that will come up around the spring, and there's going to be some public interest in that to accommodate that. We've left some of the locations a little bit squishy, if you will, in the later part of summer and early fall, not knowing if we need to go down south more for Hinkley-related issues or not. So that's why we left this a little bit loose. But I didn't know if you had an opportunity to look at them. Do you have any thoughts or suggestions if the locations or the dates work for you?
Do they think they're going to have cows in the valley in June? Because I think it would be helpful to actually see the site when they're actually running stock in the valley rather than it's just bare.
I agree. And I think that's what they had suggested to us, June, was they thought that was the month, and I right, Doug, that they, the cattle would be there.
I think all the board members know that I will not be able to attend the first board meetings of the year through the May meeting. So, just making that clear.
And so I would just add that that February meeting becomes really weather dependent.
Yes.
But we're all used to that.
So at least it sounds that some of the dates and locations are okay for now. We always can change them as the year goes on. But
Keith, did you come in?
Oh, I thought they looked excellent. I like the idea of a meeting at Lake Arrowhead.
It's been many years.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we'll proceed with that schedule. Let's start with the board members. Let me go back to my executive office report here. Even though in November we're going to provide you with an in-depth update on Hinckley and what's going on there, there were a few items I thought that couldn't wait, and I just wanted to give you an update on a few items regarding the cleanup at Hinckley. On October 16th, we will be holding a public workshop at the Hinckley Elementary School in the evening to spend some more time with the residents to walk them through the EIR, answer their questions, and hopefully get comments from them on their preferred alternative or what they would like to see or not see in a cleanup. And as a reminder, our public comments on the EIR are due November 5th. If the board members have any questions or suggestions for staff or the EIR, please see myself or Lori at any time to give us some guidance going forward. We also continue to work with the CAC to get their comments on the EIR, and we're helping them find a facilitator for their meetings. They do not have a facilitator at the moment, and our own Gita Kapai may be a pinch hitter, if you will, in the interim until they hire someone that they're doing interviews soon. The previous meeting of the CAC was a bit unruly, and some of our staff were not treated as well as they should have been or professionally. I think that will change in the future. The next meeting of the CAC is scheduled for the 25th of October, and we will have staff attending that, as we usually do. Staff have also updated our website, and I've sent a link to all of you, to kind of put all the public health information in one spot, since we've had a lot of requests from the public and others about where that information is. And Ann Holden, we have to thank for that. She put that together for us. We now have a spot that contains the previous assessments prepared by the California Cancer Registry, some of the older information they've done for us in the past. It contains OEA's PhD information and a number of nice chemical fact sheets OEA gave us about the various chemicals to answer questions for the public about the public health effects of particular chemicals. We were getting lots of questions about that. I'm about to send a letter to our friends at Department of Public Health asking if they have any more current information on cancer cases or birth defects. I don't think we have much information on birth defects. I think it'd be good to see if they have anything new they could share with us going forward.
I have some comments about that. It's great to have all that information in one place. There are three epidemiological studies on Hinckley listed there. Two of them were conducted by the same organization, the Desert Research. I don't remember the name of it. But when I looked at those, it wasn't clear to me what the geographic area was that they included in those two studies. And, I mean, it said census block number 119, and when I looked it up, it is this huge kind of semicircular-shaped area that includes Fort Irwin. I mean, it's like, you know, it's big. And so, you know, they found no increased risk of cancer, but if they used that boundary, it was not targeted to the area affected by the plume. Mm-hmm. So I actually called the phone number of the person who was listed on that study and a different person's answering machine came on. So apparently that person who did the study doesn't work there anymore and just left a message saying that I wanted the map of the area that was covered in those studies.
Well, we can follow up more. I mean, I'd like part of the reason for seeking out DPH is to get more focused information from them and more current information.
Yeah.
And the Cancer Registry does the bigger studies. I talked to George Alexeyev, who's the director of OEA, and asked if he could maybe help us in looking at some of this data too going forward, because they are often very helpful in that respect, and he agreed to do so. I will see what, by then the letter should be out to them by November, and I could mention to staff when we do get an update on Hinkley to maybe talk a little more about that information.
Mm-hmm.
And both its limitations and what still might be needed. So I'll do that for November, if that's all right.
Good.
Another thing I wanted to look forward to is the LA Times is expected to post a story and a photo essay this weekend on the Hinkley community. They've been talking to us and various other individuals about what's going on there. It's going to kind of focus more on the property acquisitions and the future land use expectations for the town. Sort of the storyline may be that it's a future ghost town, I think is what the angle of the LA Times story. And based on some informal information we've received, some are speculating that of the 300 households in the Weir Place Water Park, up to 200 maybe choosing the buyout option by PG&E. So that is true, a huge swath of the population. What I can tell you in terms of facts is that PG&E sent me a status letter on September 17th. That was in September. They were giving us routine updates on the replacement water system and how they're progressing. As of September 17th, again, that's older data, 18 wells having the levels of background were affected. 14 owners were pursuing property purchases, 3 wanted filter systems, and 1 didn't want anything. The filter systems should be installed by the end of October for those particular 3 residents. But maybe just an indicator of what the community is choosing in terms of option. I'll be getting more updates, of course, and I'll give the board hard numbers. October 15th, as a reminder, is the date that PG&E had given residents the deadline to make their decisions and inform them. So after that, I'll have a little bit firmer information on the numbers, and that will, again, will be provided to the board, November board meeting. Regarding another issue, Leviathan Mine, just to let you know quickly that it has begun. It started this week. They're at the jury selection stage. Opening arguments perhaps next week is what's being slated. And our staff will start participating in the trial down south. So. And as we all know, it addresses the 1983 settlement agreement between ARCO and the state and us about who pays for what at the mine. So I'll keep you informed as that trial progresses. Another update I want to give you is about nursery products. That's the composting facility down south that you heard the public speak to you about previously. I'm going to be meeting with the owners of nursery products next week in Victorville with some of our staff, kind of discuss the status of the facility and some of their past due reports, including an important financial assurance report. We did receive the construction quality assurance report, and that's now presently being reviewed by staff. The facility still owes us a revised closure and corrective action plan to handle their on-site wastes, which they provided us so far $200,000 for the closure of over $700,000 that they still owe us total, and unfortunately zero for corrective action. The facility may request to process a smaller volume of compost, basically to match their $200,000 money they put on the table so far. And so that's kind of what I'll be talking to them about next week. I'll learn more when I talk to them, but at least I wanted to let the board know, because I think the last time I reported on this, we had issued a notice of violation, and they had indicated they'd stop accepting waste. I sadly have to report that we've told them several times not to accept waste. They still are accepting waste. They've now received 2 notice of violations, and I'll be talking to them about that as well. I just wanted to give you an update. We watch them closely. Staff is inspecting them regularly, and they've been told that they accept waste, it's at their peril. Fuel reductions work here as we're getting near the end of our construction season. As you know, we're kind of wrapping and buttoning up projects around the basin. And we continue to work with our friends at LTVMU over the fall and the winter because our goal is to kind of lay down some foundational templates and processes for next year so that we can get out the door faster next year, you know, with our operating plans. We're even going to explore concept of maybe a basin-wide operating plan with them to see if we can do that. We're doing things like perhaps joint CEQA-NEPA projects with them, all the effort to make things move more smoothly, more quickly, and more efficiently. I still do have my monthly meetings with Nancy. She and I resolve issues and share issues of concern between us. So, I mean, I think we're in a good place with LTVMU, and I look forward to working with them next year, hopefully on a better footing and better progress. Those are all the issues I had to update the board for this month. If you have any questions.
Mr. Sandell?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. No questions.
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you, board members.
Well, I have one comment, which I like the state and regional issues section of the executive officer's report. I don't remember seeing that before. I think that's a good addition.
Yeah, just putting some of those issues there.
Yeah.
Very good. We'll move on then to item 3, adoption of uncontested calendar.
I move to adopt the uncontested calendar.
I'll second that.
Motion and second. Discussion?
With late revisions.
With late revisions. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passed. We're moving on to items 5 through 8. Public hearing for consideration of administrative civil liability orders for multiple property owners for violating cease and desist orders Spalding Tract subdivision, Lassen County. At this time and place,